By the way, I'm Pastor Dan. I'm one of the co-pastors here along with Jesse Mendoza. Wasn't Jesse amazing with that song that we sang in Spanish? That was so fun. I felt like we needed to have like a dance break where we all just started dancing in the middle of that. That was so, so fun. And hopefully at LifeStream we can learn to get moving a little bit more. I grew up Presbyterian. We were known as the Frozen Chosen, and not sure that's a tagline anyone wants to be known for. But one thing we did do in the Presbyterian church that I always appreciated was what we've already done. The pastor would say, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." And I love that you did that. But by the way, I'm going to preach a sermon. I know we've already had worship, but let's just be honest. Of all the things we do, all the things we say today, I know we're having an egg hunt and a bounty house and those types of things. Nothing matters more than that truth, that He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Well, it is Easter weekend, absolutely one of my favorite weekends for the church calendar. I love celebrating Jesus, right? Jesus is number one. If you know me at all, I'd say Jesus is everything, that all my eggs are in one basket, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Like, it's all about Jesus. And I'm just going to preface what I'm about to say with that reality, that Jesus, He is number one. But there was also another fun thing that happened this weekend. And if you know me, you know what it is. Something happened Thursday night. Anybody know what happened Thursday night? The Mariners lost. Hey, you didn't have to say that they lost. I mean, no, it was opening day. My good friend Jason is here. We love, we're kind of like grumpy old men the way we talk about the Mariners, but it was opening day, first game of a 162-game season. Isn't that wild? Like 162 games. Now, even if you're not a baseball fan, you've probably heard the Mariners haven't been that great, and we haven't been that great for like a really long time. In fact, here's some depressing stats for you. Since 2001, how many times have we been to the postseason since 2001? So when the people are holding up their fingers like this, they're not saying that we're number one. They're saying, actually, one time since 2001. Now, I will say that was 2 years ago. I was at that game. In fact, I got some pictures here. And yes, that game did go 18 innings long. 18 innings long. And yes, we did lose. But yes, it was awesome. I had the time of my life. But here's another depressing stat. There's 30 teams in Major League Baseball. 30 teams, 3-0. 29 teams have made it to the World Series. Again, can you guess which team didn't make it? Go Mariners. And yet, I love this weekend because we get opening day. We get opening day. It's the great reset. It's this incredible opportunity to kind of bury the 162 games of last season, look ahead to the new season. Again, for people like me, if you know, it's time for dreams to run wild. People like me to kind of say, you know, I got a good feeling. You know, have you seen our pitching staff? And we got some hitters. I mean, in fact, I think that let's just watch the video. It'll explain it better than that.
Oh, man, LifeSpring Foursquare Church. I am at the Seattle Mariners right now. And may I just say, this is the year! Woo!
So good. And my youngest 11-year-old Addie, she and I were at the game last night, and we won last night. And as we were listening to the post game on the radio, I was driving, and I thought, oh man, this could be the year. And I just want you to hear that opening day really is the great reset. And even if you're taking notes, you might want to write that down, the great reset, because I'm thankful for the reset. But don't you wish that there could be a reset in other parts of our lives, like maybe parts that are way more important than baseball? I was thinking in my own life, and this is painful stuff to talk about, but there are relationships that I wish I had a reset with. Anybody else? I know some people, it's finances. You wish you could have a reset in your finances. Or others of you, it's a reset maybe in your health. And so those are individual areas we wish we could have the reset. But I know corporately, like globally, oh my goodness, just as you look what's going on in this world, there's areas where you just wish humanity could get the reset. And yet we know that's not the way life usually works. You don't get to just start a new season. Not to throw my kids under the bus, but I've noticed that the messes of yesterday don't just magically disappear. They are still here today, unless you clean your room, and then the mess will go away. But the failures of last season, come on, they carry over into the next season. That's just the way life goes. And yet, there is one area. That's why we're here today, right? There is, I'm just going to get emotional. I've been emotional all morning. There is a very important area where the reset is real. There's an area where the new season is possible. And again, that's why you're here on Easter weekend. And it's the idea that when I was a sinner, like Daniel Allen Bursch, when I was a sinner, that's right where Jesus came. And he grabbed me. You know what I'm talking about. He got a hold of my life and he delivered me. He rescued me. He saved me. He saved me from who I was. He saved me from what I'd done. See, this is what Jesus does. And because of the cross and because of the empty grave, he's given me the great reset, a new season with God. Can I get an amen? Now, the Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everyone say new creation. That's good, right? The old, it says, has passed away. The old is gone, and yet the new has come. When Jesus comes into your life, it's a new season, no longer defined by previous seasons. You're now defined by, think of it this way, who Jesus is in you, but also who you are in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 says this, when you were dead in your sins, when you were dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Did you catch the beginning of that verse? It says you were dead in your sins, and it sounds kind of harsh. In fact, I think a lot of time pastors just kind of skirt by that. We don't want to make anyone uncomfortable because dead sounds a lot like dead. And no one wants to think that they were dead in their sins. But I'm just going to speak for my own life. The idea of me being dead in my sins outside of Jesus, I can't argue that. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I can't defend my life outside of Jesus. My thoughts, my actions, my choices, the things I've said, the things I've done. Again, dead in my sins. And so were you. And yet Jesus, again, this is why we're here this morning, because didn't he just, come on, what did Jesus do? He breathed his life into the dead spaces and places of your life. He breathed his life. And think of it this way. He didn't do it by ignoring your sin. He didn't do it by kind of just like awkwardly avoiding your sin. No, he came straight at it, right? He died for your sin. Praise the Lord. All your sins, forgiveness for every sin. Or think about those accusations, the accusations against you, the accusations against me, even those areas where the accuser of your soul, right, the enemy himself has tried to accuse you, try to bring you shame, try to condemn you. It has been nailed to the cross. It has been paid in full. And so again, we get the great reset. The Bible says it this way, that we're born again. Anybody born again this morning? Aren't you thankful? Born again, and it's not because of anything you've done. You didn't earn it. It's not like some good works to, and then finally I will be, ta-da, born again. No, it's not that way. It doesn't work that way. In fact, we know this verse. If you can put it up on the screen, Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar, but I hope we can receive this today. As for you, you were dead. Oh, he's saying it again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. But he says all of us. Like no one's skirting by this one. It's all of us. All of us lived among them at one time. We were all gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And aren't you thankful that that paragraph doesn't end there? Because verse 4 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy. This is how good our God is, LifeSpring Foursquare. Because of God and his love, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up. If you can, with your mind's eye, just picture what this would look like. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Say this with me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. That's what Jesus has done. First Peter says it this way, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. And then I love this next line. This is so encouraging to me. By his wounds, you've been healed. You've been healed. You've been made whole. You've been saved in Jesus' name. I was scrolling through my news app this week, a dangerous pastime, I know. But it was something else. It was super heavy. Anyone done that before? It's just discouraging. And yet you, what is it called when you just keep on doing it? And doom scroll. Wow, that's a negative title. So I was doom scrolling this week. And you know, it is heavy. It should be heavy, by the way. I think it would be even more dangerous if it wasn't heavy, that we just kind of got used to it and thought it was okay. A lot of the things going on just are not okay. And I'm a human, just like the rest of you. And so in my humanness, I was talking to my Father God. Aren't you thankful that you can talk to your Father God because of what Jesus has done on the cross? And you don't have to just say the perfect things. You can say whatever's on your heart. So I had some thoughts. I had some questions about it all. And as I was talking to my Heavenly Father, I really felt like the Spirit was telling me that as much as some of that stuff grieves my heart, it grieves his heart even more. And as a Foursquare church, part of our doctrine is we believe that Jesus is coming back. We believe he's the soon and coming King. And I believe that. Do you believe that? Jesus is coming back. And the great hope of resurrection is he is alive and he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's setting things right. Some of you just need this encouragement today that, yes, he is perfect in his love and his grace and his mercy, but he's also perfect in his righteousness and he's perfect in his justice. He is coming back. But it also got me thinking about just God and creation and Adam and Eve and the whole beginning of it all. And again, if you know me, I just can't get my brain to turn off on some of that. And I was just thinking like, man, when you made creation, when you made Adam and Eve, you stepped back and what did he say? He said, it is good. And we got to remember that part, that what God makes is good. Like God doesn't make junk. God makes beautiful things. God makes the most amazing things. And when he made this world, when he made you, he stepped back, said, it is good. And yet, you know the story when Adam and Eve made the choice, made the decision to take the fruit, to define good and bad for themselves, instead of submitting and yielding and trusting in God's definition of good and bad, something you're still playing out in 2024, people deciding what is good and bad outside of surrender to God and his commands. And yet when they did that, you need to hear this, LifeSpring. When they took that power for themselves, it was not good. It was not good. That rebellion and that disobedience was violence against the heart of God, in many ways fracturing our relationship with him. Now you'll notice as you read through the Old Testament, and at this church we read through the whole Bible every year, and so we'll read through the Old Testament, and as you read these stories, you'll see that God is very faithful, even when we are not, amen? He continues to pursue us. He makes a way even for us to meet with him, to live with him. You see this in some of the stories, like the story of Abraham, I think of Moses, and of course the judges and the kings. There's all these stories of God being faithful, and we not being faithful. Again, it's played out throughout the Old Testament. And as you read through those pages, you see the ugly consequences for our sin and rebellion. I also want to say this, as bad as it looks right now, it's been bad for a long time. It really has. I'm addicted to documentaries. I love history and all those types of things. But man, I was watching one the other day on Alexander the Great. Maybe you saw that one. Pretty good. I just watched one on Genghis Khan. Again, very interesting and pretty good. And yet, can we also admit that those men killed so many people? Just invented ways to kill people. I remember in my history class learning about the medieval crusades, or our family, we went to an IMAX movie and we got to see this IMAX on the Terracotta Warriors. Has anyone heard of the Terracotta Warriors? I have a picture. This is just incredible. The first emperor of China, it's a fascinating story. He has these artisans and craftsmen make these terracotta warriors, almost 8,000 of them, that were going to be buried with him so that they could go with him into the afterlife. It's a pretty incredible story. 1974, they discover these terracotta warriors. And so we're watching the IMAX. We're like, man, this is exciting. And how cool is that? And then they go, oh, and all the craftsmen and artists who made those warriors, like 3,000 of them, were all buried alive so that no one knew where the tomb was. Oh, and also the first emperor, when he died, all of his concubines were murdered and buried with him as well. That's just pure evil, wickedness. It's violence. And again, I can get so easily discouraged with it all, but I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart this week. He just wanted to give me a glimpse, and I probably only can handle a glimpse. I don't even know if I can handle a glimpse, but a glimpse of the evil, not just of today, but of thousands of years. And yet at the same time, come on, church, he was showing me a glimpse of his unfailing love through it all, of who he is. His goodness, his kindness, his patience, his unfailing love. And that's what we know, that right in the midst of the darkness 2,000 years ago, in the midst of heavy darkness, what did God do? God, out of his love for us, he sent his son. He sent the light of the world to earth. In the days of Jesus, in that area, it was not a pleasant time, especially if you're at all an outcast, an outsider, if you're disadvantaged in any way, if you're sick, or not the best time to be a woman, not the best time to be a child, just a great time of evil and violence. And it was a season, though, of people just like you and me longing for change. People longed for the reset. They were longing for a Messiah. Maybe you've heard that word before. The Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah who would be the king of the Jews, who was prophesied. He was the one, the redeemer in the line of David, the strong military leader who would come in, drive out the enemy, and establish God's kingdom. But you know the story, that the one that they were looking for never came, but the one that they needed did come. I want to say that again. The one they were looking for, he never came. But the one they needed, he came. He came. He was born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, had his home base for his ministry in Capernaum. What's his name, church? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. He goes around delivering the good news, the best news ever about the kingdom of God. I mean, this is really, truly good news, church. It was news of deliverance. It's news of rescue, of salvation, of life. It's news of change. And yet, though he delivered that news, ta-da! Though he delivered that news, here's the deal, church. Did everyone accept Jesus? No. Isn't that wild? I mean, Jesus was right there in front of them, delivering the best news ever. And people rejected him. Do you know that's still happening today? People still reject Jesus, the answer, because he was not the one they were looking for. And so they rejected him. Now, others believed. Again, I love the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the book of Acts. If you don't know where to start, you could read like the Gospel of John, but then read the book of Acts. It's exciting because though some rejected, others accepted, and they believed. And when they believed, it changed their lives forever. Again, they're born again. They're called out of darkness into marvelous light. Like you just said, the old was gone and the new has come. They were new creations adopted in the family of God. Again, opening day for a new season with the Lord. Now, in my mind's eye, when I think about all of that and them saying yes to Jesus, this is what I think about. Anybody love flowers? I love flowers. And when I think about what Jesus had done in their lives, this is what I see. That they were dead in their sins. And nothing grows in death, right? In barren places. But yet, when Jesus came into their life, when the living water began to flow in their life, Jesus brought them life. Colorful, vibrant, full, abundant life. And though nothing had changed, in a way, I mean, they're still living under Roman occupation. They still have pretty corrupt religious leaders all around them. They're surrounded by evil and darkness. Though in one way, nothing had changed. In another way, everything had changed. They had been brought from death to life in Jesus. I love this time of year. Again, it's Easter. It's opening day. It's March Madness, by the way. How fun is that? Can anyone beat UConn? Wow, they are so good. But I love all that, but I love the flowers. I'm not sure I love the allergies. But I love the flowers. We have these crocuses. Anyone have crocuses at your house? The crocuses pop up in February, reminding you that, that's just like, oh, praise the Lord. I needed you, crocus, because I was thinking that we would never get out of this season. But we got the crocuses. We have one daffodil that shows up in March. One just, phew, and then kind of goes. We have, what's that tree called in our house, in front of our house? Magnolia tree. I have a picture of the magnolia tree, just a beautiful, beautiful tree. But I've noticed with flowers, they're here one day and gone the next. And yet I want you to hear this. I didn't come up with this phrase, but maybe you've heard it before. With Jesus, it's like the eternal spring. The eternal spring. Even I've noticed like these are dropping some petals. You don't drop petals with Jesus. Think of it this way. Isaiah 40 says this. The grass withers and the flowers fade. But listen to this. I want this to encourage us today. But the word of our God stands forever. Do you believe that? That means if you're here and a believer in Jesus, you're hidden. Think of it this way. Hidden, firmly planted, smack dab in the middle of God's everlasting word. Case closed. Do you see what I'm talking about? Hidden in the word of God. Listen to the way Peter says this. Again, you're not perishing. You're not fading away. 1 Peter 1 says, you have been born again. Born again. But look how powerful this is. He goes, but not of perishable seed. No, but of imperishable seed. Through the living and enduring word of God. Can I get an amen? So as a Christian, again, I'm not here one day and gone the next. In Christ, I will be with the Lord forever. Again, all my eggs are in one basket. I have the confidence. I've placed my trust. I have placed my life. If there was a circle that's Jesus, I'm in the circle. All of my eggs in one basket. This is what I believe. That because Jesus raised from the dead, I too will rise from the dead. I believe in a resurrected Christ, and the resurrected Christ will resurrect me. See, that's what the cross even represents to me. It's life. It's life. It's eternal life. And think about the cross. It's a crazy thought that this thing would represent life, because the cross, man, it's a tool only meant for death, right? Only death. No one is crawling off the cross alive. The cross is meant for death. The cross, it's a place where hope dies. It's a place where dreams die. It's a place where families are fractured and torn apart. This is a place of humiliation, of ridicule, of scorn. It's an instrument they designed to be the most horrific, most painful, shameful death. And yet, it is right at the cross where Jesus conquers death. He conquers death. Death. If you keep reading that passage in Colossians, we're told that Jesus, this is so good today, he disarmed the powers and authorities. In fact, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. An instrument meant for death becomes the pathway to life. A place of defeat becomes a place of victory. And so for anyone today who believes in Jesus, yours is the victory in Christ. And come on, it's better than winning the World Series. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he invites you into something that is bigger and better than you could ever imagine. It is a vibrant, full, beautiful, powerful, new season with God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So as you consider your life, and hopefully even as you're sitting here, some of what I've said has resonated with you. But even if it hasn't, I know that the Lord is here, and I know that the Lord can speak through me, but he sometimes speaks in spite of me. But I just want to encourage you, where are you at with all this? You're probably walking through something. We're all walking through something. I've noticed that as a pastor. There's just a lot of things people are walking through these days. But where are you at? How you doing? How's it going? Do you got Jesus? Do you even know what that would mean for you to have Jesus and the life that he offers? And if you don't have that life, I just want you to hear this. You know that you're dead in your sins. You don't even need a pastor to say that. Also, if somebody could turn on some air conditioning, that would be amazing. But you know that you're dead in your sins. And I get it. That's harsh. And we avoid language like that. But I've read you the scriptures. But I just need you to hear this. That's not a you issue. That's a human issue. I have the same issue you got. And here's the deal. I'm not here to condemn you, and neither is the Lord. Jesus did not come to this earth to condemn you. The Bible tells us in John 3:17, he says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. Jesus saves sinners. Everybody say that with me. Jesus saves sinners. That's what he did. By the way, I am living testimony of that truth. Are there any other living testimonies of that truth? That Jesus saves sinners. And I'm telling you, there's no reason for you to go out those back doors today when we're done without believing in and receiving the life that is found in Jesus. And so here's the deal. If the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, if you know you need that new season, you know you need the reset, you need the forgiveness and the life that is found in Jesus' death and resurrection, then hear me out. God, out of his delight and love for you, he is ready to give that to you today. So we want to pray, and we're going to pray. I don't always do this at church, but today I really felt like we were supposed to pray and just invite the Lord to be the Savior and the King of our life, that we could commit to living for him all the days of our life. And for some of you, you're like, man, I'm ready. Like, I'm just ready. If there's a reset or a new season that comes with Jesus and his death, then count me in. And maybe for the first time, you'll pray this prayer. Others of us, maybe it's the 100th or 1,000th time, but I don't know about you. I've been a Christian for a while, but I do not want to waste my life eating old manna. And I know that's kind of a religious term, but I'm ready for a new season. Anybody else ready for a new season? And I believe that today, Jesus, by his death and by his resurrection, wants to give that to us today. So would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Jesus, I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and as my Savior. I turn from my sin. I believe you're the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the grave. Come into my life. I'm ready for a new season, an eternal spring, an abundant life that's found in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, and we want to sing a song here to kind of celebrate what Jesus has done. And as we sing, I'm actually going to invite you to do something that I think is going to be really powerful. I want to give us an opportunity to remind ourselves, to remind our hearts, to remind our minds, to remind our bodies of the life, the eternal life that Jesus has given through the cross and in that grave. Because again, where the instrument that was meant for death ended up becoming an instrument that brought us life, what I want to do is to represent that visually. And I love anything that's visually helping me learn what Jesus has done. And this is what I was thinking, is that we would come up and we would take life and say what the enemy meant for evil, where the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy my life. I believe that now, where death used to reign and only death, now life, eternal life, has sprung up. And I want us to be able to make that declaration as we sing this song, that this is what Jesus does. He brings dead things back to life. So again, this is kind of what I'm thinking. if it doesn't go well, we'll change it next year. But this is my attempt for this year. Is we're going to put the cross down here. And Jesse, go ahead, and thank you so much for doing that. And if we could go on the outside, we have these buckets here. And in these buckets are these beautiful flowers. And just grab a flower, and then we'll come along here. And then the cross is going to be down here, and you'll be able to place it into the cross. Again, let's make that declaration, church, that yes, I once was dead. I was dead in my sins. And yet Jesus has come into my life. And what once was dead, now is alive. Amen? Amen. Well, would you stand with us and let's sing this together.
Shades of his glory awakes us with mercy and love, and Jesus does.
Amen.
Who holds the orphan and comforts the widow, a cries for injustice and fills every sorrow, the pain of his children, Jesus does.
Yeah.
celebrate what you've done in our lives, Lord. Oh, there's nothing.